Welcome to the Ion Basketball Podcast, the Pick and Troll Podcast. Your host, Zach Harper. Matt Moore, I'm feeling a little worried because it has been exactly 7 days since Tara Reid last tweeted, and I don't know what to do with myself. How's it going?
There's a hole in your life?
There's a hole in my life. Every time I check to see what she said, it's just the last, like, I'm going to bed, sweet dreams. I don't know if she woke up.
Oh, no. Maybe she's in Katy Perry's Wide Awake video.
God. It is astonishing. I was at an establishment like a week and a half ago. And in said establishment, they had a couple of TVs that just had, I don't know, like VH1 playing videos for, you know, that one time a month they do that. And Katy Perry had like video of the year for, I don't know, she's like a jungle cat or something. I don't know what the song is, but I know she's in a jungle in the song. And I was just thinking, like, really? That's where we are as a society? I mean, not that her music can't be fun and it's poppy and I get that, but it doesn't have to be a lot to it. But that's like one of the biggest stars we have. I'm astonished.
I think she's fantastic.
It's like a Zooey Deschanel character gone wrong.
Like, I think she's fantastic. It's really weird because traditionally I dislike especially hypersexualized pop stars. I tend to do...
Right.
I'm very anti-Britney. I'm very anti-Christina Aguilera.
Really? Because Christina can actually sing.
Yeah, she can. No, she can sing. She's got pipes. Kesha, I don't really care anything about.
Oh, don't even. I will literally get fired if I start talking about Kesha. I can't control myself with how much I hate her and the words I use.
Don't get fired, Zach. But I think it started with California Girls because – I talked about this with you before because it's got a reference to September Girls by Big Star.
Right.
I really like her music. I don't know why. And the videos to me are very compelling. Like, I do this where it's not like I'm like, oh, Katy Perry is such an amazing artist. I just find her culturally fascinating because she's not – to me she doesn't seem as vapid as maybe some of the others. The music has a little bit of – like I think her songwriters are a little bit more intelligent.
Yeah, I don't see anything there.
That's fine. I don't blame you at all. Like, I understand. I'm not going to argue. Like, I don't feel passionate about it to argue with you about it. It's just simply a matter of for whatever reason, I find her fascinating.
I understand that there are – how do I put this? This ought to be good. I understand there are certain trade assets that she possesses that might heighten her value. But outside of that, like, I just – and I don't need music to say anything. I love the Ying Yang Twins. Like, I recognize that they're terrible, and I'm not saying that you're not recognizing that she's bad, but like, I love the Ying Yang Twins, and it's atrocious music. Like, I can get into bad music. There's no problem with that. It just, there's nothing for me there. And I, you know, pop music I can mostly do without, but I can at least understand it.
You know who loves her?
Who?
Drew Holiday.
That I could see.
He's like a big Katie. He's like that new song Roar is really great. I read that in an interview. I didn't get to ask him about it yesterday, and I was kicking myself because I was gonna have like a whole 5 minute segue about Katy Perry with him.
Is that why? I mean, I feel like a lot of NBA players really like her, and I wonder if that's just a keeping your options open. Like they publicly
like that song that you saw is Roar, and that's like it's Eye of the Tiger for the 21st century.
One, no, don't ever say that again. Two,
Eye of the Tiger sucks. No, we should talk about this. Eye of the Tiger is the Space Jam of inspirational songs.
Oh, I agree. Eye of the Tiger is a terrible song. It's still not even as good as that. here's the key to watching, and we will eventually. Well, you just mentioned Drew Holiday, so that's enough basketball for this podcast. We're good. I watched that video at this establishment. Where they don't actually, like, you didn't hear the words or the music. You just saw the closed captioning. Read the closed captioning while watching that video.
Oh, I know. It's amazing. She says fire like 9 times.
Oh, my God. It's like that Rihanna Diamond song. That Shine Bright Like a Diamond, where she just repeats that for 45 minutes before you, like, stab your ears out and then the song's over. There's just nothing there. Rihanna's best work, let's just be honest about this. Her best work has been Battleship.
Probably. I like Umbrella.
Oh, my God.
And the song she did with Eminem. I like that one, too. About how domestic violence isn't okay, but you can kind of understand it.
Right. Which is the message of that song. But sometimes love is there.
Right?
Sometimes love is behind the pain. Yeah, that song's not a great message. I get that it's kind of real, to some people, but that's not fantastic.
Like, I find myself running to it, and then I'm like, yeah, then I think, like, no, this yeah,
it's
is
like
terrible.
A good, it's
like,
a good beat. There's a, yeah, there's a good cadence to it, and then you actually listen to the words. You're like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, like, this is horrible. Like, I'm gonna set her on fire.
This is
I'm
awful.
Gonna tie her to the bed and set her on fire.
Yeah, that's an awful, awful message. Speaking of awful messages, feels like the Bulls have an awful message to Derrick Rose that they may blow up the core, and he's not happy about it.
Yeah, you know, Lawrence from the New York Daily News, and the immediate reaction, I love this from fans. Here's the thing. If you do your research, if you're somebody that cares enough about your team to keep up with what goes on in terms of media reports, and then you want to say, I've been following this reporter, and his track record is not good, and especially about this team, he has not been accurate, I'm going to give you props. Now, if you don't want to go through that trouble, I don't mind that, but then don't have an opinion about this reporter. I don't like it when – because what happened was Lawrence posted the story and somebody said, how would he know? Like, this is just made up crap from a New York writer trying to get attention. I'm like, well – because – and then one of the Bulls guys on Twitter, Jay, said, well, actually he was right about Thibodeau not signing his extension.
Yeah.
Like, he actually had that. So he's got somebody inside Chicago. The report is that Derek's – someone close to Derek says, which is, I know everyone's like, oh my God, this is where media is at. Yes, this is where it's at. Like, get over it. Like, you're not going to get Derek Rose telling you, I don't want the Bulls to blow it up. It's not going to happen.
Right,
so if you want to get the story, you have to go somewhere else.
It is rare you are going to get a player going on record with something like that at any more at this stage. Not that it doesn't happen, but that's why you see so many, a person close to Derek Rose, because it's probably his manager saying, hey, I'll get this message out there for you.
Yeah. And so somebody close to him has indicated that he is unhappy with the Bulls' plans to blow up the team, essentially, because once Rose went down, someone inside the organization talked about four different reporters, one for ESPN Chicago, one for the Tribune, one and a few other various outlets, and basically said, they are blowing this thing up. It's done. Which makes sense. Like, the run is over.
It really does make sense, and it's not that you couldn't compete with this team if everyone's healthy. I just don't know that it's cost effective. Like, you can get rid of Boozer, you can get rid of Dang. Not that that's necessarily a great move. You have to replace them with quality players, but you can replace them with quality players at a much cheaper price that gives you more flexibility for building. And you're going to bring Mirotić?
I say Mirotić, but
whatever. Mirotić, yeah, that probably sounds better. You're going to bring Mirotić over in the next, I don't know, year or two, it seems like. And at that point, like, you've got, I don't know, you've got a really, most like, I mean, it's unlikely he's going to fail. Like, you've got a really quality player at a relatively cheap price. I mean, I just think that you can finesse this roster. I don't think you have to give away Noah. I think you can build around Noah and Rose and have a Jimmy Butler, bring in a Mirotić, you know, have Taj Gibson, and bring in maybe two or three role players with the money you would have to commit to Boozer and Dang. Now, this is also Reinsdorf, so we don't know that that's actually going to happen. This is all very pie in the sky, but blowing up this core doesn't seem like a terrible idea to me.
If you know that Tibbs is going to be able to pull defense out of whoever you have, I mean, he's proven that. He can take anybody and have them be a good defensive unit. As long as he's got Noah and Butler, he's going to be set. That gives him a wing defender to stick on the best perimeter threat and Noah to cover up the inside. As long as he's got those two guys, you're pretty well, you're going to be good.
Right. I agree with that.
If we've seen that their approach of defense, 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 and maybe some smattering of offense isn't working, why not upgrade your offensive unit and have a moderate to good offensive unit and a still great defensive unit, because Tibbs can coach them up. Anyone that's going to respond with, well, actually the Bulls were top five in offensive efficiency, I don't care. That offense is a train wreck. It's always been a train wreck. It's always going to be a train wreck unless they get better pieces.
Well, I think part of it is – you always talk about fostering a culture for a team, right? Because you need an identity, you need a culture. Like, we've seen it work in Memphis, we've seen it work in a lot of places, Chicago being one of them, where you become a very successful team by getting all the players you bring in to, one, fit your system and your culture, and two, to buy into it. And I think that fans really get caught up in that. I think I've noticed this. You're much more connected to the fan base than I am, but anytime I interact with Grizzlies fans, it's very much a, well, we play defense, we grit and grind, all that crap, you know? Like, they really buy into it. And so if you suggest an alternate style, like maybe the new regime has kind of seemingly, like, moved towards, I think that that is kind of upsetting, because it's like, well, no, this isn't what we know, right? And so for the Bulls to say, okay, we can still try to play great defense with lesser defensive players while upgrading the offense, I think it sounds good to outsiders, because it's like, well, yeah, why wouldn't you try to find a better balance? But to those Bulls fans who have bought into, yeah, we're going to be a top three defensive team, saying the design is going to be for you to be worse on defense and better on offense doesn't really sound good. I think more times than not, you're going to say, well, why can't we keep the same defense and be a better offense?
Yeah, and I mean, I think Memphis fans at this point would say, yeah, we could probably use some offense right now.
Yeah, well, I mean, the injuries definitely don't help.
I don't know, even that. I mean, Memphis knew, the fans knew last year. I mean, part of it is they love the grit and grind style. They want their cake and eat it too. It's a relatively young fan base in terms of contention, right? Sure. This is the first time they've been in any sort of love. Not even if you want to debate contention, like conceivable contention. Like, you can stretch the imagination.
I think where it is widely accepted that you are a lock to be a really tough team to face in the playoffs.
Yeah, so they're there. This is the first time I'm really there, so they're still learning. Like, you know, it's like, well, why can't we just go out and get like an offensive upgrade? And part of that was kind of thing last year. Everyone's like, we should go get JJ Redick, and I'm like, I'm not sure what they can give Orlando. Like, right. That's their thing now. Without trading Zach Randolph, you can't improve their offense. The Bulls, however, can improve their offense, because they can move Deng and go get, that's going to free up cap space. They're one of those teams that Reinsdorf drives me crazy because he doesn't want to send into the cap, and despite making obscene amounts of money with that team, their profit margin is just absurd.
Yeah.
But they're also a team that they can get free agents. Everybody wants to play for the Bulls. Playing in Chicago is awesome.
Yeah.
You're playing for Jordan's team.
Major city, great, you know, great history over the last 30 years, 25, 30 years. I mean,
you can go hang out with Jay Cutler,
which I would say 90% of the world wants to do.
Really?
Minimum.
They've got great museums, which I know appeal to a lot of NBA players.
You know, Reinsdorf sets it up to where Paul Konerko can just buy anybody dinner at any time.
Right.
So you run into him at like hot dogs or something. You know.
Just follow him around.
Just follow him around and just hope he, like, you know, drops a couple of hundreds.
But they can pull in free agents from wherever. And so you're going to have the ability to upgrade your team in whatever way possible. And they think Butler is the future. You know, they think that, and if you're like, you know, Mirotić, Noah, Butler, Gibson, Rose, because they're locked into all those guys. They're not getting rid of those. They're getting rid of the veterans on big contracts. That's what they're getting rid of.
Yeah, big contracts on short. I mean, Deng's expiring, and then you can still amnesty Boozer, right? He's one of like eight guys in the league you can still amnesty.
Yeah.
You may even be able to move him because he's got 1 year left, right?
I still think that somebody would do the deal. I still think the Pau Gasol for Derek or for Luol Deng and Carlos Boozer with some other pieces thrown in is perfect. Throw Xavier Henry in there.
Sure.
You know? Send Marcus Teague so that he stops having Thibodeau destroy his soul.
That's what the Lakers need. They need more point guards.
They don't have one right now.
Well, that's a little short term thinking. And I don't know that adding Marcus Teague would help. Would be like, oh, thank you. Now we can do that.
Would they be better off with Marcus Teague or running out Kobe and
Wes Johnson?
Kobe and Robert Sacre, point guard. Bobcats blew that game something fierce on Friday. Just,
yes, they did.
That was a meltdown.
It's fun to see Kobe back doing that.
He had some moments.
He really did. Like, whether you buy into the narrative or not, like, I still really enjoy watching him cook.
Here's what I love is there are these players that, and it seems really simple, and I'll go through this in a minute. It seems really simple to defend them in terms of, like, just don't do this. And yet guys do it every single time. And it's not that they're idiots. Like, it's not Spencer Hawes leaving Kevin Garnett for the pick and pop. Like, this is like, they simply force you into making the mistakes that you can't. Gerald Henderson biting on that pump fake.
Oh,
I was just like, what are you doing? He's shooting like 30%. He just came back from an Achilles injury. Let him shoot. But then if you're Gerald Henderson, you're thinking, I can't let him just get a shot off.
That's the thing, is that it's always like, it's easy to have that outside perspective, right? Because we over study, we overanalyze all this stuff, and it's like, well, don't do this and don't do that. But if you're in the moment, you're looking Kobe Bryant square in the face. Like, I can't imagine that's an easy thing where you're like, all right, I'm going to keep this scouting report. I have to remember that to stay down here. You see Kobe Bryant going for a shot, and you're like, uh-oh, I better contest that.
I think part of it's also Gerald Henderson's got crazy athleticism, so he's like, what if I block Kobe?
Right.
You know?
Exactly.
Yeah. So, Derek should – the other thing, and this is really important to me, Derek didn't want to recruit. He wanted to make a big deal about he's not going to be one of those guys that recruits. I'm too good for that, or I'm too humble for that, or whatever his whole thing is. Don't be like, I'm not going to help us get anybody better, but then I'm going to complain when you're basically faced with not a huge salary. We're not talking Nets, but paying a lot of money for a team that's not going to be able to compete. In part, I'm not blaming him for this, in part because of the injury. I'm not saying that he should be blamed for the injury. I'm just saying you have to accept that they don't want to pay for a team. They don't want to pay big money for the rest of the season for a team that's clearly not going to win the title.
I'm not going to say it was disingenuous by any means, but there is part of that that's a marketing tool to say that, right?
Yeah.
And you can go through that for a while, but at a certain point, you're going to end up being Paul Pierce hoping you're traded to Hall of Famers, right? Yeah. If you have that mentality, and it can work out, and you can get your ring someday, and it'll be fine. But I don't understand why that is. I mean, we've probably talked about this a million times on the podcast before, and definitely on Twitter. Like, I just don't understand why that's a bad thing. Why trying to play for the best team possible is a bad thing. I will never get that. Supposed to be all about winning and sacrificing your personal glory in order to get championships, I will never understand why that's a bad thing.
I think for Rose, actually, it is a bad thing. Because if you've ever heard Derrick Rose speak, that's not somebody who's going to convince you to do much.
That's true.
I can just imagine a free agent being like, hey, Derrick, I just kind of want to talk to you about what you think about the team and what you think I can bring and see if this is going to be like a good fit. Well, are you there, Derrick? It's a tough situation for both sides, but at some point you got to let the Bulls do what they're going to do. Like, Reisdorf's not going to pay into the luxury tax
for sure.
as part of life and move forward.
Yeah, and I just think, like, I think for I am worried about them being stubborn with their culture and him being stubborn with wanting to do it on his own, essentially. I mean, not on his own, but you know what I mean. I do worry about his career getting wasted, assuming he can get healthy and be back to the consistent player he was. Like, I just, yeah. And it's probably just me being scarred by the whole Kevin Garnett tenure in Minnesota. But I think you witness that for long enough and you start seeing these incredibly talented players that are faces of the league and you think, don't let yourself be Garnetted. Just don't do that, you know?
It's like, also crazy because I was thinking about this. Like, there are so many. Like, in the mid-2000s, it was one thing, right? Because you've got Jason Kidd played an exceptional level. Allen Iverson played an exceptional level. Tracy McGrady flirted with it for a season, right?
Yeah. Maybe a couple seasons.
Yeah. But really, there weren't that many. And now, like, I'm looking at this, like, over the last, even just, 3-4 years, look at how many guys are really elite players that aren't getting shots at championships.
That's the thing with the rule changes, with the scouting and the training changes and stuff, like, it's just not feasible. You're not going to have that Allen Iverson season again. You're just not. Like, it's not a feasible thing to attack this on your own. It's just like, that is not the state of the NBA. You can't do it. Nobody is good enough to do that. LeBron couldn't do that on his own. LeBron's one of the greatest players we've ever seen, and he couldn't do it on his own. What makes you think you're going to do it? And I get it, you're a competitor. You have that fire. I think that's great. I also think you have to have perspective.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you end up wasting, what could be a great legacy. And you and I talk about this, like, all the time. Like, we don't hate these guys. We don't hate these teams. We want them to be as good as possible, right?
Right, yeah.
Like, you criticize because you want them to be better so you can see the best product possible.
Exactly. It would be great if everyone lived up to their potential and we just had nothing but game sixes all the time.
Yeah, that would be fantastic. Well, I mean, Spurs fans wouldn't like that, but everyone else would be loving that. Oh, man, I didn't even mean to. It was during the Wolves-Spurs game this weekend, and the Wolves were fighting, but it was pretty much a losing battle in the last, like, minute or so. And I just tweeted something like, can the Wolves trade for Ray Allen? And all these Spurs fans were like, oh, come on. I was like, oh, I didn't mean it like that. I just need – we just need a clutch player right now.
See, I'm the opposite. I love reminding them of it. I just think that's one of the things that like that it's good. I'm honest, I'm very serious. It's good for you to have that. Like that's a memory. Like if you say Jason Elam to me as a Chiefs fan, I kick. I just involuntarily kick things.
Or like, it's the whole Nick Anderson thing. Like there are moments where it's good to remind you a little bit that there's pain behind, before
And like
success.
Derek Fisher, like if you say 0.04 seconds,
Yeah.
that's something you share with millions of people is that you blanch whenever the words 0.04 seconds are uttered.
There's nothing like shared demise. I think that's my favorite Hallmark card.
There's nothing like shared
Yeah.
and
That's what I
like
get. That's what I
inside of
get.
it's just like a cartoon drawing of a dead cat with its feet sticking up in the air.
Yeah, that's what I get for my mom every Mother's Day. She knows it's coming, but no. It's a
So I
tradition.
want to play a game.
Oh, let's play. I love games.
Okay, we're gonna play a game. And I thought I was trying to come up with a concept of a play on words with MC Hammer and Too Legit to Quit, of it being hammer or something, but I couldn't think of something that's like the opposite of legit.
Okay.
Hammer or Donaghy? Maybe that's it. No, we'll just do legit or not. Okay.
What's great is that this is such a timely reference for our 15-year-old listeners.
Exactly. They're like, what's going on there? I'm gonna ask you about a team, and I want you to give me an assessment of whether or not their season a month and 2 weeks in
Okay.
is legit.
Oh, I like this. I get to criticize.
Yeah, and we'll alternate with a good team and a bad team.
Okay.
Okay, the Indiana Pacers, legit or not?
Absolutely legit.
Okay,
Absolutely.
so. There's been questions about the schedule, and there's been questions about sustainability, as well as the offense being middle of the road. But you believe that they've got the formula.
Middle of the road for them offensively is like being a top five offense for almost every other team in the league. I truly believe that. Like them being an average offensive team is light years ahead of where they were last year. And the defense, I mean, you know that like the defense is stupid good. It's like under 94 points per 100 possessions. Like that's just, I mean, you give that kind of defense a mediocre offense or an average offense, that's just destructive. That
So,
is Miley Cyrus on a wrecking ball doing that weird tongue thing.
I heard that song for the first time this weekend. I actually hadn't heard it
I
yet.
still have never heard the song. I've only seen clips of the video.
It's slower than I thought it
Is
would be.
it? Yeah, I still think that crap, what is it? It's got the weird talking face and the giant bear backpacks, the can't stop, won't stop, whatever.
Yeah, that one.
That's still a catchy ass song. See, I can buy into pop music. I can buy into certain songs. Katy Perry is not there.
You like Miley, you don't like Katie. Okay.
Although, I do like annoyingly singing Firework. That's a fun thing to hit my friends with. Okay, keep going. What are we doing? Pacers. Yeah, they're
So
legit.
let's say the offense isn't sustainable. Or let's just start there. Is the offense sustainable? Is the offense legit at 13th best in the league?
Oh, absolutely. I think maybe they fall to 16th, 17th, but yeah, that offense is legit.
Because there's got to be people that are wondering if Paul George is going to come back to Earth.
Even if he does, don't you think they adjust and start running more stuff through David West?
Yeah.
Because that's the thing, like I feel like I should probably look this up before I start saying it. But I feel like his usage is down,
Yeah.
like considerably. It is at a he's at a 21.6% usage rate this year, and it was 24.4% last year. So yeah, I think if Paul George starts or they start scouting and game planning for Paul George more, I just think you run it through David West more, and that helps you sustain.
Okay, we'll go to the bad team. Brooklyn, legit or not?
That they're this bad, not legit. Injuries, I think you've seen since Deron Williams came back, this team is a little more competent. You add Brook Lopez to the mix. You add if Andre Kirilenko was ever going to play again, that would be fun. I don't know that. I don't know that KG and Paul Pierce can be collectively this bad all season. It wouldn't shock me based on what we've seen, but they always find a way to kick it into gear when it seems futile. And I think the Lopez Deron Williams combination is too good to fail or to be that bad. Like I still think if I had to pick who wins that division, I would pick the Nets, even still.
They're a game and a half back of Toronto for second in the division, and they probably will close that gap, I would say, by middle of the week.
Yeah.
Because Toronto, well, I don't know. Toronto's having the post.
Yeah, I just wrote about that in Power Tankings, posted before we started recording, of like, every once in a while we see these teams like trade a player and they're 3-1 since that trade, but you gotta assume that they're gonna fall back to earth at some point.
Dead cat bounce. Yeah, I'm starting to believe a little bit in Brooklyn. The Pierce and Garnett thing is notable because they play so much differently in February and March than they do. It used to be they would play bad in November and then play well in December and January and then coast in February and March and then pick it up in April.
Yeah.
And as they've gotten older, they started moving the timeline. And now it's like they suck for 3 months and then they turn it on.
Yeah, and even if they don't turn it on all that much, I just think we've seen this team is not what we thought it was going to be by any means, but that doesn't mean they're this bad.
Seven games under 500. How many games over 500 can they get in the remaining 59 games?
I mean, I think they could finish 10-12 over just because look at the division they play against.
Wow.
You can get a lot of gimme games. Toronto is going to start tanking, or we assume they are. Philadelphia is sliding big time. If the Knicks don't put it together, I mean, you could have some really easy wins there to beef up your record. And yeah, it'll be smoke and mirrors, but that doesn't matter in terms of playoff seeding.
We'll do Snake and we'll do another bad team. So let's go across the bridge. New York, legit or not?
I think – I will say not legit just because I don't think they're this bad once Tyson gets back. However, what if Tyson doesn't come back? I mean, not the whole season, but just like consistently. What if he's in and out of the lineup? Then they are this bad. But I'm going to assume health with Tyson at some point and that it not corrects them, but at least like steers them away from oncoming traffic. And they're no longer veering to oncoming traffic and they'll just be like veering towards the ditch.
By the way, Brooklyn has 13 games remaining against Atlantic opponents.
Yeah, I mean, they went 11-2 in those. Would that shock you?
No.
Yeah, you know, like I think they can run that pretty well.
The Knicks are a really interesting question because a lot of it is Dolan's impressed me by not making the panic move.
What would trading for Kyle Lowry do? I love Kyle Lowry, and I don't understand how it fixes this Knicks team. And what would they trade? Their 2020 first round pick?
The 2018 in Shumpert.
Jesus.
Or Tim Hardaway Jr.
I mean,
I think THJ is who Masai really wants.
If you do that in the 20, well, I just wouldn't give up a first round pick for him at this point. If you're the Knicks, like, I would like that to happen just to see Raymond Felton's reaction. That would be fun.
That poor guy. He got traded. He signed with New York as a free agent. It was like his time. Like, finally, I'm out of the small market. I'm gonna go be a big time player.
Played
he
well.
Signs with New York.
Played really well.
Played really well. He gets traded to Denver. Hates it, gets traded to Portland, hates it even more, gains a bunch of weight, and then gets like saved when they let Lin go and trade for Felton. He's back in New York, and then this happens. This is tough.
I think it's just tough because it's hard to imagine them being this bad all year, right?
Right. Like, can J.R. Smith legitimately shoot, like, have one of the worst seasons in NBA history for a player of that usage?
I mean, well,
yeah, you can.
He could, but
like, that's not really a stretch. But I think part of it for me is just honestly, how can Melo play this well and not make an impact eventually?
Yeah, eventually the health has to catch up, and the rest of the guys will catch up. I would think. I think a big problem is that I don't feel like they're shooting threes this year. Are they shooting threes? I guess they're shooting 24 a game. Last year, I feel like they were around 29. Yeah, last year they were just under 29 a game. They got to start chucking more. I know that's my answer to everything, but I really think for this team, that's a big deal.
They are fourth in three-point attempts.
Yeah, but it's not enough.
I mean, they need to be number one by a mile.
You've got – I don't know about by a mile, but you've got 5 attempts a game missing from last year. And I actually think that's significant for just the mindset of your team. That's a lack of confidence, and that could be the injuries, but I think that shows a lack of confidence to me in what made you let's just say dynamic last year, because you and I disagree on whether they were good or not. Like, but I think we both agree they were dynamic, right?
I can't argue that they weren't good. I could joke about it, but they won what, like 50 some odd games?
Like, yeah, something like that, 54.
Like, no, they were a good team. They weren't as good as their record.
Yeah, that's true.
They weren't as good as their record, nor were they as good as they were perceived to be. But my opinions on them are obviously largely based on an overreactionary stance.
Remember that thing I did before the season about, like, someone's going to break 900 threes made in the season? Yeah. Yeah, no one's even close to that.
Not going
to
happen.
Even the Blazers. The Blazers are on pace to hit, like, 820, which is an insane amount.
But it has been a widely disappointing season thus far, I think, overall in numerous aspects.
Yes, I agree with that.
You know, and it's okay. Like that we're gonna have.
It happens.
Had a great one last year. Had a great couple seasons. Sometimes we're gonna get eggs. Like this one's an egg.
Yeah, you can't keep building. I think the key is just building before the TV contract is up.
I think one thing with the Knicks, when you talk about the 3-point attempts, they need. I believe this about Melo in general. Like the thing that would fix them is a ball dominant alpha dog point guard. Kyle Lowry is an alpha dog, and he's a point guard and he's ball dominant, but he's not good enough to necessarily warrant that.
Yeah, and I think he is in the right attack, but I don't think in that Knicks attack he would be. I actually think Felton runs that team fairly well when they're not just ISOing, right?
Shoot, it'd be great.
Sure. That would help.
Because that's part of the thing is they're defending him by basically saying, you know, double the roll guy, pull back, give Felton the 16-footer, which he's airballing it.
Yeah, which he used to kill at. I mean, he used to be he would just annihilate you with that mid-range pull-up off the pick and roll.
And Knicks fans will disagree with this, but a lot part of it to me is Prigioni ain't the answer. Like they need a better point guard than Prigioni, and Udrey really hasn't played well either.
I think Prigioni is fine for them. I think he's the right guy to have in the rotation for heavy minutes, but I think you need a different guard next to him.
Yeah, I'm.
You need a guy who can, because he. I feel like he has a ton of those great like attempted hockey assists, right? Like where last year he would throw it to Kidd, and Kidd would then make the pass, and then it would work. But he's not throwing it to a guy who is making a quick decision with the ball.
I'm not just saying this because I talked to him yesterday and I love his game. Drew Holiday would be really perfect for them.
Oh God, yeah.
Like defensive point guard who's a floor manager. Like he takes really in pride the idea of being a floor general. That's what he wants to do. Like you need somebody that's gonna be like, no, don't do that. Go over here.
Yeah. He and Gordon are working so well together.
Yeah. They've got some interesting stuff. I've got a feature coming out on Holiday later this week, and I talked to both he and Monty Williams about how essentially when Gordon is ball dominant. When Gordon's on ball, it frees up Holiday for shot attempts, which is good because he gets the spot up. And then in the rest of the sets, they're basically running pick and pop with Ryan Anderson and Holiday, which is like a nightmare. Like watching teams try and guard it is just – it's just horrible for these defenses. Like if you leave Gordon to go help Ryan Anderson, Holiday's going to make the cross-court pass to Gordon, and then you got an open look for Gordon.
Yeah.
Nightmare. Anyway, that's the kind of guard that the Knicks need. Okay, let's do legit or not – here's a great one. The Dallas Mavericks.
Oh.
Because they've been both good and bad at points.
I love the way Dirk's playing. I love the way Monte's playing. It is just so hard for me to buy into the rest of that interior. Where are they? They're in the playoffs right now, right?
Yeah, they're the 8th seed right now at 14-10.
And, well, that's with Golden State out. I think Minnesota's better than Dallas. New Orleans. If New Orleans is healthy, I think they're better than Dallas. Maybe that's pretty close.
Let's go through the locks, right? So, okay, Portland, OKC, San Antonio. That's three locks there. Clippers are a lock, no matter what they look like. That's four.
Houston's a lock.
Houston's a lock at five. So we're still looking at three more seeds for the rest of the teams.
Yeah, and you got Phoenix, Denver, Dallas, Golden State, Minnesota, New Orleans. Maybe Memphis if they
– no. Can Memphis get – no, we're done. We'll get there, but we're done.
Okay. I don't know. They're only 3.5 out. I don't agree.
I'm giving up the ghost. We'll talk about it, but I'm giving up the ghost.
I'm going to say Dallas is not legit.
Okay.
And I think it's simply because it has nothing to do with Dirk, has nothing to do with Carlisle, has nothing to do with Monte. I don't think they have enough production from their interior to help out the other guys enough. And maybe Dallenberg can turn it, get in shape and turn it around. Maybe Dwan Blair, well, he's not going to do anything. Maybe Brandon Wright can do something. I don't know what the answer is, but they need another interior player. They miss Elton Brand so badly.
Yeah.
If they still had Elton Brand and he was healthy, I think I would feel very good about them. But I'm going to say not legit because I don't trust anybody they put next to Dirk right now.
How good would they be with Anderson Barzal?
Oh, my God.
Would he fix almost all of their problems?
I honestly think if he was healthy, which is a huge concern with him every year, healthy on that team, and you don't have to give up a major core member to get him, that's a six seed. Like, they'd be that good.
I would trade Calderon for him right now, but of course the Cavs don't need that.
Right.
By the way, Deion Waiters had a fantastic game against Miami. He was great.
He did. He was fantastic.
He was superb. He was just good decisions, good shot making. He loves attacking Miami. I don't know if he's just like showing off for LeBron or whatever it is. Pick me. But he was great. The Los Angeles Lakers. This version of the Los Angeles Lakers, because that old version that everyone felt so happy about died when Kobe came back.
I think that's unfair. They also
It's a different dynamic. Even D'Antoni admitted, like it's a well, different, they're just a different team.
How many games does he play with Steve Blake and Jordan Farmar?
No, and that's fair. But my point is that I don't think it's a matter of like. Here's the thing: I think once you put Kobe in, the entire dynamic of that team changes. It just shifts because he has such a huge impact. They can be better. I'm not saying that they cannot be as good as they were. They can be better than they were, but they're not going to be sharing the ball, moving it, everybody taking shots, everybody having fun, la-di-da-di-da. Like that.
Completely disagree. I completely disagree. With this team and this makeup, if he thought they were contending, yeah, I don't think he would fit in. But getting his legs under him and bringing two actual point guards back to the roster, I think they can and they will still play that way if they can get that mixture.
Okay.
I think I think right now.
The bigger reason I'm disagreeing is D'Antoni basically indicated like there's no way to get around it. Like we have to adjust how we play when Kobe's on the floor. Like this.
But that's right now. They don't have anybody.
It wasn't about like right now. It wasn't about like to get him back up to speed. It was Kobe Bryant at full strength. Our team dynamic is entirely different.
Right. He also just threw Pau Gasol under the bus with like a pay stub quote.
He should.
I don't know we should take everything D'Antoni says at his word as, oh, yeah, this is – some of those are motivational tactics.
No, that's fair. That's fair.
They're not legit, but I don't think their style before was legit. It was fun.
Yeah, I don't either.
Yeah.
That's kind of the thing is, like, I think they can be better because they can be more legitimate with Kobe. I'm just not sure that they can
– No, they don't. There's not enough talent on that team to do that.
So I guess, like, legit is – I don't even know what to define with them, like right. So they're like I'm not at all like this is who they are. Like no, Kobe's getting his legs back under him. He'll be fine. Like it's I'm not worried. But everyone's like he looks really bad. I'm like he just came back from major surgery.
Right. He just came back from having his Achilles tear.
Yeah. Came back early. Okay. Just came back at 35 with no training camp to throwing passes to Robert Sacre. Like. I'm going to give them some time. I think it's okay. So I guess the answer is, are they legitimately a playoff team? There we go.
Oh, no.
Not even close?
The West is just too good. I mean, right now you have the Golden State Warriors on the looking out, or on the outside looking in. That's going to change. There's no way the Warriors miss the playoffs, and there's no way the Lakers are better than, I would say, the four or five teams ahead of them right now.
Yeah.
They're just not. Like, even if Kobe came back and he was great, played like he did last year, they still don't have enough talent around him to make a difference.
So they can be a legitimately fun, engaging, scrappy team that will barely miss the playoffs.
Yeah, I think so. I think miss it by like four or five games, but I think they're going to be a pain in the ass to play the last 3 months of the season.
Let's call it right now. How many games do they miss the playoffs by?
I'll say five.
Okay, I'll say three.
Okay.
I think they can hang. Especially depending on what they do with Powell. I think, you know.
Yeah, I don't know. It's hard for me to see anybody taking him.
What do you think about that situation?
It's, I mean, isn't this what always happens? It seems like a yearly tradition.
What Kobe said that same thing. I'm kind of confused because I'm like, Mike D'Antoni's only been here a year.
But it's an organization thing. That comes from higher than D'Antoni. I mean, coaches can get tired of guys, but that kind of talk and those kind of rumors, that comes from above. And I think we've seen that with a lot of organizations, right?
It's weird to me that he's
Because he's such a nice guy.
he is. It's weird to me he's shifted because when he was getting traded for Chris Paul, like he was wearing black eyeliner and listening to like the Blink the last like the really terrible Blink-182 album, like the one that they was Cure inspired, and was just sad. Like he was so miserable at the idea of having to leave LA. It was like
Yes.
the worst thing he possibly imagined. And now he's like, maybe that wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. Like that's how much he hates playing for D'Antoni.
Yeah.
Which I did. Did you read the post I did on it?
Yeah.
For those of you that haven't, he complained about touches inside, and he's basically getting more touches inside. Like he's behind Tim Duncan by like 0.4 touches. Like less than a half a touch,
He wants more.
which sounds like an Ace of Base song.
He wants more.
I don't know. I disagree with almost everyone about like Pau Gasol and what he's capable of. Like,
No,
I'll say for the
I believed
billionth.
it. I believed it was possible before the year after watching him the first month or so. I don't even think it's a play his way into shape or he can turn it on kind of thing. Like I think his body is broken, and I think expecting that out of a guy who's been around that long, gone through that many games and has endured the kind of injuries he's endured, that's asking way too much of the human body.
Okay, so we did two moderate teams. Let's go back to the East and let's do Washington. Legit
Wizards
or not?
have fallen a little bit.
9-13.
Yeah, they've lost like what, four or five in a row?
Yeah.
Four in a row. Legit in the sense that I think they make the playoffs. Just let's look at this Eastern Conference right now, and it's not. I'm honestly getting sick of after every night, two teams in the East are above 500.
Yeah, we
14
get the
teams in the
point.
West are like I'm getting sick of those tweets. Like, we get it. The East is much worse than the West. Like, I don't think we need nightly reminders of that.
The people you're
But
tweeting to understand it. Like it's if you want to do like at the halfway mark and be like, no, really, the East is still terrible. All right, fine, but not every night.
But here are your 4 through 8 seeds right now. Boston, Detroit, Charlotte, Toronto, and a Derrick Roseless Chicago Bulls.
I'm choking because I'm gagging on that.
If I told you that was going to happen before the season, you would have tried to get me fired. You would have said Zach has lost his mind. We clearly cannot have him on board anymore.
It's sad, but sometimes people just break.
That's
Yeah, and
ugly.
Beal could come back tomorrow, which would be Beal means everything to them. And it's weird that they're so dependent on a second-year player, but
He's really good.
He shifts their dynamic. It
He does.
opens up things for Nene and Gortat inside. It opens up things for Wall. It gives Wall more opportunities. And
He does so much coming around screens. He does so much good work, I think, on like just action on one side of the floor, like near the baseline. Like he's just a really good player.
he's a guy that can go for 30 points on 18 shots.
Yeah.
Like, that's huge. So I'm with you. I think that they're legit they're a legit playoff team.
Yeah. Part of
I
that
think they
is
are
part of
not
that is
legitimately as bad as they've played.
right. Part of that is the East, but part of that is I think they're a good enough team, even in a decently competitive East.
And the team that I've kind of considered to be their brother, the Cleveland Cavaliers.
I'm actually kind of buying in.
I'm starting to. I like where they're headed.
Kyrie's playing well, they're relatively healthy, Bynum gives them a little bit more. It would be nice if Tristan Thompson could make shots. Because he still can't make shots. He's shooting like 43%. Maybe switch back to the left hand.
Right.
I think that experiment's done. But it's yeah, they've got enough talent in the roles they need to Jarrett Jack starts coming around a little bit more. I like where this team is. I think they're I would pick them as a lock to sneak into the playoffs.
If they make the 6 versus 3 seed Atlanta,
I'd still pick the Hawks, but
I think I might pick the Hawks in a sweep.
Ooh, I don't think I think it'd be a great series.
Watching the Cavaliers offense, I got a lot of concerns about them in a playoff environment.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. Now, they could win two games because the Hawks are stupid. They are just
I think Kyrie
crazy.
can I think Kyrie wins you at least a game. I think he has one like 45-point ridiculous effort.
Maybe that's the secret is Kyrie gets in the playoffs and has his Derrick Rose in 2009 moment.
Nine, yeah.
And because we really need to see that, and that could I could see that happening. But
oh, let that happen. That would be so much fun. Oh, that would be so much fun. I love watching Kyrie play. I love watching him go off. That 37-point, 11-assist effort against the, what was it, the Knicks the other night? That was just sexual.
we talk about this all the time, and I just need to do it again. Stop equating how good a player is with whether or not his team wins games,
Yes.
like in the or makes the playoffs. Like the absolute joke of a roster that Kyrie Irving has played on every single year is pathetic. He has played on one of the worst teams in the league consistently.
Also, this is his third year, right?
Yeah.
Why are we even judging playoffs for him at this point?
Yeah.
Third year.
Be patient, guys. The league has got some pretty good teams in it the last couple of years. And just because this year everyone's sucking doesn't mean that traditionally, like the last couple of years, it hasn't been hard. Like the East hasn't been strong. It's been a lot stronger than this.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's do Golden State, though. I don't really think we need to because I think we're in the same place on this, which is like, there's panic in Warrior Land apparently, which I don't understand how these teams are so braggart, like the fans are so braggartly. How are you guys not feeling better about things? Like we talked about the things that I have with the Warriors on Friday, but I know that this team's great. Like, this is a great team. They're gonna be fine. Chill out. Everything's fine.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, I think it's just. I think maybe fan. I mean, fans are fans. Like they clearly probably thought that this team was going to start much closer to Portland's start than their own. You know, probably thought that those two teams would be swapped, or maybe not as good as Portland, but somewhere around there. But I don't know. I actually liked their comments after last night's loss. It was just a lot of. There wasn't finger pointing. There wasn't like any. It was just like. We know what we need to do. We believe in the guys we have. Like we're gonna do this. And I don't mind that kind of, maybe it's just lip service, but I don't mind that kind of mentality of no, we're okay. Like there's no need to panic. It's a long season. We will get it together.
You don't panic at 13-12 when most of your losses have come versus good Western Conference teams.
Right, exactly.
I mean, we'll get to this team in a second because there's another one I want to do before them, but that's not a bad loss. You lost to the Suns, who are a good team.
Yeah, here are their losses this season. At the Clippers, that's more than acceptable.
Loss.
At San Antonio.
Good loss. They were without Curry that game.
Right, at Memphis when Marc Gasol was there.
And that was a, I think that was a back-to-back, maybe.
Yes, it was back to back with San Antonio. Lost at home to Memphis.
That one, weird things happen, sure.
Yeah, it was an overtime game. Low scoring.
There is a belief that Memphis matches up exceptionally well with them. I believe that for the regular season, sure.
Yeah. At Los Angeles, or at the Lakers, not a great loss.
No, that was a bad loss.
Home to Portland, clearly is a acceptable loss.
Yep.
At Dallas, acceptable.
Yep.
At Oklahoma City in overtime.
Yep.
At Houston.
Yep.
At Charlotte. Probably not acceptable, but not as bad as it sounds.
With the Iguodala thing, that's.
Yeah, you can kind of see it.
Yep.
Close home loss to Houston.
Yep.
And then at Phoenix, who is actually like seems legitimate.
That's 1.5 bad losses.
Right. Out of their 12 losses. There's absolutely no reason to panic.
I mean, sure. Like if Iguodala comes back and they continue to play at one game over 500, sure.
Yeah, you'd like them to get their stuff together at some point, but I think they'll be fine.
Like, I mean, I'm all for teams freaking out and demanding, and especially I'm all for player accountability being like, this is not acceptable. We've got to play better, and meaning it because everyone says like we've got to play better after a loss. But I mean, you can wait. You can wait until things, get there. I don't know. What do you think is their problem? Besides Iguodala, let's hypothetically remove Iguodala from he'll fix everything land.
Right.
What would be the problem with them? Just that Bogut doesn't seem to be as effective as maybe we thought he was.
I think actually primarily it comes from turnovers. I think
Yeah.
they're just sloppy with the ball.
So the defense doesn't concern you?
Not
Their
really.
defensive numbers are better than I expected, so they're still seventh in defensive rating.
Yeah, not the defense doesn't concern me because I think that.
Holy crap, you're right. They're 29th in turnover percentage.
Yeah, they're just sloppy with the ball.
They're fourth in effective field goal percentage and 29th. They either make a shot or give it to you.
Yeah, like they just give the ball away. And I think that's correctable.
Ooh, they're 29th in rebound percentage.
Yeah. Which is weird because that's acceptable if they're not running David Lee out there. But
Yeah,
with Lee and
as
Bogut.
much as you and I have tried to get in front of the bus for David, that's not a good look.
Yeah, I mean, with Lee and Bogut together, there's no reason why you should be getting killed on the boards. But that, I don't know, that like if it's just a turnover problem and you're bringing back a very good playmaker who's knocking down shots and who can move the ball for an extra pass, who's also happens to be one of the best defenders in the league, I think you'll be okay. Like
I remember yours is
it
he
doesn't
had a lot of
mean
contract.
Lee, he's got I think he's through 2016.
And how much is it per year?
Like 17.
Damn.
It's a
Because I was
lot.
trying to figure, I was like, well, if it saves the Bulls a little bit of money, they can trade a
No.
loser. No.
Yeah, it's through 2016. Oh, it's not it's 13 it's 13.8 this year, 15 and then 15.4. Still not good, but yeah, there's still 30 million over 2 years past this year.
So they need to get better at like stop giving the team the other ball and
I
start
don't
driving.
I'm not even sure that rebounding is a big issue for them with their style of play. Because I think we kind of, not to compare them to Miami, but Miami is not a great rebounding team who plays good defense, takes care of the ball for the most part, and knocks down shots, right? I think you can have a similar model with this Warriors team that allows you to win without really being ultra competitive on the boards.
Oh, this is confusing me. God, this is confusing. Okay, so they're terrible at rebounding, right? They're 26th in the league at defensive rebound percentage,
Yes.
okay? And they're 29th in getting their own misses.
Yeah.
Anybody that's read Basketball on Paper by Dean Oliver,
Yes.
the big thing that you kind of take away from it is that offensive rebounds are not necessarily getting your own, it's preventing the other team from getting them.
Right.
They are, despite those rebounding numbers, they are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They're tied for fifth in opponent offensive rebound percentage.
Huh.
So they're not getting the ball, and their opponent's not getting the ball. Who's getting the ball?
Joey Crawford.
Like, that's.
Joey Crawford strikes again. He's always been one of the best rebounding referees in the league. Say what you want about his antics on the court. That guy knows how to rebound a basketball.
Like, they have the 1, 2, 3, 4. Five, six, seven. They have the eighth lowest opponent effective field goal percentage. So they're forcing a lot of misses, and the other team is not getting them, and yet they still can't rebound.
There's not a lot of logic to it.
There's not a lot of logic to these numbers. We're way too far down the advanced metrics hole. So, like, it's fine. It could be. It could January could come and they could still be struggling, and then we have to be like, all right, we got to start looking at what's going on,
Yeah.
because the fan base has high expectations at this point.
But here's what I wonder about this team, and I actually don't know how I feel about it. Let's say they get into the playoffs as a, I mean, they're going to get in the playoffs, but let's say they don't get higher than a 6 or 7 seed because
They
they
still make a run.
struggled. Yeah,
They still make a run.
I mean, I guess it's matchup dependent, but would you still feel good about it? Because that means they're probably running into San Antonio or OKC. I don't know. I don't know that I feel good about those matchups.
Make it just make it to the sixth seed and play Houston.
Yeah.
Play Houston or the Clippers. Play Houston or the Clippers and you're fine. As long as they finish better than they just need to avoid Oklahoma City and San Antonio.
Yeah.
Portland is one that gets really interesting. Let's go there next.
Okay.
Legit or not, Portland.
Yeah, legit.
Well, let's do two different. I got two different legits for you. Are
Okay.
they legit as good as 21-4, or are they
No.
legit as good as our legit playoff team? We both agree they're a legit playoff team. We agreed. I thought I was going to be nuts for having them as high as I did. I had them at like the sixth or seventh seed.
Yeah, I think I had them as a 7 seed and was like, "Oh, I don't know about this."
Yeah.
But apparently that was too low. They're a legit top 4 team in the West. They're not a legit 21-4. That's too good.
Yeah.
Like, that's that's like 65 win good.
And I understand fans' temptation to be like, why isn't it? Like, look who they beat. I get all that. I'm just, it's more of, you and I have, we see every year there's a team that does this, and every year there's a fan base that gets offended when people don't buy in, and then every year there's a fan base that goes completely silent when they fall back down to earth.
Yeah.
Like Portland, last year I was like, this is not a playoff team. And the Portland fans were just livid with me. They were just like, you're just a hater, blah, 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 blah. And I was just trying to explain. I was like, look, you won all of your close games. No one wins all of your close games. It doesn't happen. You can't do it. It's the chaos theory with a bouncing leather ball dictates that you're going to lose sometimes.
Yeah.
And that's okay. Like, that's, you know, because if you tack on, if you flip four of their wins in the other direction and they're 17-8, you're still 9 games over 500.
Yeah.
Like, they are legit. I agree with you. They're a legit top 4 team in the West. I think they'll fall off. I don't think they'll fall off worse. The lowest I can see them dropping is 6. They're not finishing worse than 6.
Yeah, they're on pace for like 68 wins right now.
Yeah, that's probably not
going to
happen.
That's definitely not going to happen. But could they win 57-58? Yes.
Yeah. And that's how great of a season.
That's a stupid good turnaround. What did they win, 33 last year?
Yeah. And you have a center in Robin. If you don't trade him, you have a center in Robin Lopez to throw at opposing bigs. You've got LaMarcus Aldridge, who no one can match up with effectively. You've got Damian Lillard, who is on another level right now. You've got shooters to spread the floor, so you can run offensively with any of those Western Conference teams. Your defense isn't great, but you're also looking at a Western Conference with a bunch of teams that have questionable defense.
Your defense isn't great, but your offense is blowing the doors off everything. So I don't know how great your defense has to be. I know it changes.
Well, I always think that you got it, just because we've seen it too many times it not work. I've been too burned by too many offensive teams.
No, but it changes in the playoffs, but there's a certain balance, and I think they have that balance.
Like a Portland Golden State playoff series would be fantastic for figuring out who's legit. Like, that'd be really amazing to see.
Yeah.
Like, that'd be really fun. There are a lot of fun matchups in the West. That's one that I would really like to see. Like, I'd rather see Portland. I'd rather see Portland Golden State than, like, you know, Portland New Orleans or Portland Memphis or Portland Denver. So, let's do the Suns, legit or not.
Okay, this has got to be our last one because we're like at an hour and we still have games to do.
Well, sorry.
we've got four. Phoenix. I think they're a legit playoff contender. To make the playoffs, I don't think they're as good as they are right now, but I think they can. If they got the 8th seed, it wouldn't shock me.
I'm buying in for them as a playoff team.
Yeah,
I'm in. I mostly because I look at this and I'm just like, they're really well coached.
Yeah, Hornacek's just a really good coach so far this year.
I'm basically laying on the ground. I'm like on my knees in front of Suns PR trying to get. I'm just like, please. I just want to talk to Jeff. Please, just a little. Yeah. Just
I talked to him in the summer league, and he was so much fun to talk to.
Yeah. All right, let's do games.
All right.
Pacers are -11 tonight versus Detroit, who's on a back to back.
I'll take the Pacers. They're in Indiana, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll take them at home.
Detroit's one of those teams that really likes messing with me. I'm taking the Pacers, but I don't feel good about it.
It is a lot of points.
It's 11, and Detroit messes around sometimes. They just – and in like a good way. Like, sometimes they're like, nope, we're going to be competitive tonight. Surprise. They're also probably going to be really pissed off about that loss last night.
They should not have lost that game.
Your Wolves are in Boston, where they are a point and a half favorites. Wolves coming off a very encouraging loss versus San Antonio.
Yeah, and they won last night. Back-to-back, I don't feel good about back-to-backs, but they should beat the Celtics team. I'll go I'll take the Wolves to cover. They'll win.
Boston by 6. Taking Boston by 6.
Okay. Boston, I appreciate the jinx. Wolves will be back over 500.
Lakers are in Atlanta. Atlanta are 6-point favorites. I'm kind of surprised that the line's as high.
I'll take LA to cover. I don't think they win, but I think it's a close one.
104-101 Lakers. Atlanta, I'm almost to the point where I'm just going to bet against Atlanta every time. Because I can't trust them. It's like, if I'm going to be wrong, I'd rather them surprise me. Like, I'd rather them, you know, pleasantly surprise me by being better than I expect. Than this, they should take care of this team, and then they wet the bed. I'm tired of watching them wet the bed.
Never trust the Hawks.
Never trust the Hawks. It's worse this year than years past. believe this.
It's on the upswing, though.
Miami are 12.5-point favorites versus Utah.
Yep, lay them.
Really?
Yep, Miami's going to destroy them.
Really?
I just wrote about how competitive this team is. This Jazz team has been since the since Trey Burke came back. It's a lot better than it was to start the season. I think they're 5-9 in their last 14, and they're not getting blown out nearly as much. But Miami's going to destroy them.
They got guys to spread the floor. They got guys inside, and they got Trey Burke as a point guard that can do damage. Miami's going to win this game. I don't like 12.5. I'm taking Utah.
Okay.
I don't think it'll be. I've got it at 9. I don't think it'll be competitive, but I don't think it'll be 12.5. And now they will win by 40. The Knicks are favored at home versus the Wizards, 1.5.
The Knicks are favored at home?
Yeah.
Give me Washington, I guess. I don't want anything to do with that.
I'm going with the Knicks. I don't know exactly what the record. I think they're like 3-2 in their last 5.
Okay.
They won 2, lost 2, won 1. I think that's what they did with the Hawks.
Okay.
I'm buying into New York, but I'm kind of like, yeah, they might be able to beat some bad teams. The East might help them get back into the race. Brooklyn, this I don't get. Brooklyn are 10-point favorites at home versus the Sixers.
Did Thaddeus Young get traded? We didn't hear about.
Okay, I know that the Sixers have been awful. I'm not denying that. And I know that Brooklyn's been better, but God, 10 points?
Yeah, I like Philly in this one to cover. I like the Nets to win for sure, but I think Philly covers. They probably lose by like 8 or 9.
This is one that like the Nets are going to blow them out. And I'd be like, of course they blew them out. It's the Sixers. I feel stupid for not trusting it.
No, Tony Roden's going to backdoor cover with a 3 at the buzzer.
Ooh, I hope so. That'd be I'd build him a shrine. Bulls are 7-point favorites tonight against the Magic.
No. I disagree. I just disagree. And my judgment here is colored by the fact that they just lost to Toronto by 22, and I think they were at home.
Yeah.
Maybe they weren't at home. I don't know. They still lost to Toronto by 22. No, I take the Magic to cover. Magic are like finally healthy, right? I think we're gonna see them on an upswing.
Okay, I'm taking Chicago. Orlando, even with healthy, it's been really weird. Like they beat the Bobcats and then they've just like been getting killed. I can't even describe why they're losing. They just don't do basketball things.
Right.
And then game of the night. Big one.
We already talked Wolves Celtics.
Clippers at home are 3-point dogs to the San Antonio Spurs.
Ooh.
Your choices are Ralph Lawler and Sean Elliott tonight.
I like Ralph Lawler. I'm not crazy about his running mate.
I like Ralph Lawler too, actually. He's adorable.
He's like a kooky old school guy.
He's like Tommy if he wasn't as bad. Like if he wasn't angry.
It's
like
exactly.
You know, if Tommy stopped drinking.
Ralph is fun. His running mate, Mike Smith, is not fun.
Blake got up above the rim.
Yep, he sure did. That's what he does.
Look at him. His whole hand is above the rim.
And just like him, I don't know. Him trying to flirt with Doc Rivers as Doc is patrolling the sidelines is weird. That's really weird to me. No, I think I like San Antonio in this one. It's such a small line, too. It's hard to bet against San Antonio. Clippers winning this game wouldn't shock me, but I'll go with the Spurs.
I think the Spurs by 8. I think they win comfortably. Closing notes. Do not expect the New Orleans Pelicans to trade Ryan Anderson for Omer Asik.
Oh, no? They're not keen on that horrible idea?
Yeah, the report, team does not want to trade guy that has learned the Dirk one-legged step back and hit threes and rebound for a guy who I don't even think...
Who tries to catch a basketball with oven mitts.
Yeah. Surprisingly enough, not super huge
it's
on
weird.
That.
Team, team trying to make the playoffs is not going to get worse with a trade. That's rare.
Also, they firmly believe that Anthony Davis can play the 5 because of the way that the NBA is gone. They believe in the small ball. The small ball movement is going to allow them.
Yeah, they're going to get killed some nights because of it inside, but I think more often
They're willing to gamble with it.
Yeah, I think more often than not, you'll take that risk. There aren't a lot of guys that can punish them in that way.
They feel really good about Jason Smith, too. He's played pretty well during the streak.
Nice role player. Really nice role player.
Leading scorer tonight. Let's do that.
Of all the games, Paul George.
I was gonna say the same thing. I gotta choose another one.
By the way, last night Josh Smith, 31 points. 25 of them came from going into the paint, I think. I think that's what I saw on the Pistons telecast. Do that. Quit shooting jumpers.
The turnaround and one you nailed on Matthews?
Yes.
That was nice.
Do that. Stop shooting jumpers.
So over under 7 threes for Josh Smith tonight?
Actually, no, I'm changing my pick. Kevin Love.
Oh.
Kevin Love's on a hot streak.
He's doing some things.
He's hitting like 54% of his threes over the last like 5 or 6 games or something ridiculous like that.
Anytime anybody asks me about the Wolves, I've been crediting you. I mean, like, Zach keeps telling me that their schedule in January is really soft and they're going to be really good at the end of it. I'm like putting it all on you.
That's fine. I'm wearing that whole distinction. Like, they've had one of the toughest schedules in the league. They're still missing 2 key role players. Whether you think those guys are good or not, like, the team is designed to have those guys in the second unit. And their January schedule is just really easy. So if they're relatively healthy, I think they're going to be well over 500 heading into February. Now, that could change in February, but I think at the end of January, we are going to think a lot differently about this team than we do right now.
So you're saying that at the end of February, the league is going to hear them roar. Roar.
All right, I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Bye.